Welcome back to Copper Country Today. Heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at thewolf.com or KBAR102.com or WCCY.com. My guest in the first portion of the program, 1st District U.S. Congressman Dan Beneschek. My guest in the second portion of the show is his opponent in the Republican primary that is coming up on Tuesday, Alan Arcand. Alan, welcome to the program. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
We know Congressman Beneschek fairly well because of the couple of terms that he's served in Congress. Don't know much about you, so how about you start out with a little background, where you're from, what you do, your background, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, I'm from Iron River, Michigan. I was born and raised there. And I have an auto repair business in Iron Mountain, Michigan. And I was in the Air Force for several years as a jet mechanic, and I also taught jet mechanics. And, I'm a firm believer in the Constitution. So, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution while in the military, and, that's what I plan to do while I'm in Washington.
You have a family?
Yes, sir. I have three boys, age 10, 7, and 5, and I've been married for 12 years.
Oh, all right. So why, at this point, run for Congress?
Well, I see that my boys, they're going to get nothing as of right now. And it's up to us to, ensure a future for the next generation. And if we don't stand up and defend our liberties and freedoms for the next generation, they just won't have anything. So that's why I decided to get involved. And it's also another way I can serve my country because I was medically separated from the military.
So you are a veteran. You're, would be classified as a disabled veteran?
Yes, sir. I am a disabled veteran.
All right. You, as I've looked over your website and some of your materials, would you describe yourself as a Tea Party Republican?
I would be a constitutional conservative. I'm pretty grounded in the Constitution. And, all my thoughts, I like to go back and figure out, what did Madison think about that issue, or Jefferson, whoever. And then it gives you a better understanding of the Constitution and what liberties were supposed to be protected in those amendments.
So you're running against Dan Beneschek, who is consistently rated among the most conservative members of Congress. That's mycongress.com.
Well, I would beg to differ. If we look at his Heritage Action, he's 50%, and his Freedom Index is 50%. And it probably has to do with a lot of his voting records, say, like on the National Defense Authorization Act, he's voted every time to keep that going. And what that does, it takes away our habeas corpus rights away, our due process rights, which is a cornerstone of our freedoms in our country. Another thing that really hurt him is he's been going around saying that he's against Obamacare, but then when the votes come up to fund it, he votes to fund it. So he's not as conservative as people like to say he is.
The American Conservative Union rates him at 79%.
Well, Heritage Action doesn't.
So that's mycongress.com rates his voting record as extremely conservative, his support of conservative issues at 78%, his support of liberal issues at 6%.
Well, we can also look at his debt ceiling increases. He's increased the debt ceiling 6 different times, and he's voted to completely remove the debt ceiling at one time.
Let's go back to one of those votes last fall when the government went into a partial shutdown. I believe that I've read that you would have not voted the way that he did at that point. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't have voted to do that. I would have been opposite of the way he voted on that. I wouldn't have voted to open it up. The votes that were in there, we can't afford those things that they were actually fighting against. That's why they're fighting against it. But he voted to fund it, so. I wouldn't have voted to fund it.
How long would you have kept the government shut down?
Well, I would have kept it as long as it needed to protect the liberties of the American people.
What about the American people who work for the government and weren't being paid?
Well, you know, not all those things were true, because a lot of the things came through and would go up to the White House and come back, and he wouldn't fund certain things. Like, there would be bills going up just to fund a certain program so that people would get paid, and the White House would just keep shooting it down. So it's not all the Congress's fault on those issues.
No, but if you are in Congress and you have to make a decision, and the decision that you make is not going to go through, how long do you keep banging your head against the wall?
Well, you know, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and if it violates the Constitution, I'm just not going to vote for it.
So how long should those people have gone unpaid?
The Obamacare funding in that bill violates the Constitution. It's not a delegated power of the federal government. It never was. And it takes the rights away from the people, so I would not have voted to fund it.
You can make that argument, but an awful lot of court decisions have disagreed with you, and at some point, do you not have to live within the rule of law?
Well, I believe the rule of law is our Constitution, and there's a lot of courts that ruled it unconstitutional. You know, we had over half the state that didn't even want it. So, you know, we can make that argument on both sides.
So what would the health care system that you would like look like?
Well, I believe that the free market should be deciding the health care for the people. We have a lot of issues where people can't afford their health care because the lobbyists and special interest groups kind of fix the markets through the government through different pricing and various aspects of it, to where everything is really expensive and the government starts controlling everything. It should be the free market deciding what's going on. You know, we can look at the VA for an example, too. We can throw money at all day long. It's not going to fix it, because the real problem with it is that it is government-run health care. We look at the bill coming out of the Senate now. It does not, I mean, it has some good things. It covers veterans outside of the 40-mile radius, but they can only go to Medicare providers only. If I was in the House, I'd be fighting to expand that so they can go to more medical providers, not just Medicare providers, because they should be allowed to go wherever they want. And also in that 40-mile radius is not included, so they would still be under the whim of the 90 days of the VA to determine whether or not they want to service them or not. So I would be fighting against that also.
So you don't believe in a government-run healthcare, paid-for healthcare system for most people, but you do believe in one for veterans?
Now, I believe that the veterans should be allowed to go wherever they want. They should be able to take their VA card and just go downtown to whatever medical provider is down there in their local area, and that way it stimulates their local economy. There's no shortage of doctors. There's no bonuses getting in the way of their treatment. You know, I'm prior service. I get a call. I get 30 minutes, and I got to be on a plane. I'm out of here. You know, they shouldn't expect nothing less from their government. They shouldn't have to wait 90 days to be seen for something. You know, that the government is indebted to them. We all are indebted to our service members, and they should expect nothing but the best.
How quickly would you close the Oscar Johnson Center?
I wasn't looking to close it. I think a lot of it should be outsourced into the private sectors. I think it should come back more to kind of like the VA does more of accounting thing, where they take care of the bills of the private sector to pay back for those bills for the veterans. You know, So those medical providers that provide services to the veterans, they can go to the VA and get their pay.
Okay, but if I'm a veteran and I'm going to go to my doctor in Iron Mountain, and you're going to go to your doctor in Iron River, and he's going to go to his doctor in Escanaba, what would we need the Oscar Johnson Center for?
Well, the Oscar G. Johnson Center could be more of a processing center for all these claims and different things coming through in the Upper Peninsula.
What about veteran-specific health issues, Agent Orange, PTSD? Would my family doctor in Launce or Lorium know as much about them as a VA doctor, say, at the Johnson Center?
No, they wouldn't. So in that aspect, they wouldn't be able to provide all services to veterans. But veterans should be allowed to have a choice.
All right. My guest is Alan Arkand. He is running against incumbent U.S. Congressman Dan Beneschek in the Republican primary in the 1st District for U.S. Congress coming up on Tuesday. Let's get back, as there are two aspects of this health care that we started to talk about. One is the veterans system. You have, by the way, been very critical of Congressman Beneschek's oversight of the VA. Appalling, I think, was the word that you used on your website. If you had been in Beneschek's seat during this past term, what specific things would you have done differently?
Well, in his first term, I would have immediately said something. He was in the VA for 20 years as a surgeon, but then he was also on the oversight committee for the VA for 3.5 years. Well, I'm going on 4 years now. So you would think that somebody that is actually a doctor for the VA would have something to say, but as soon as he got into the House, but from what I can tell, he really didn't have much to say. He wasn't fighting a whole lot about it. That's like me being an auto mechanic for 20 years. I'm an ASC certified auto mechanic, but then I don't have nothing to say about auto mechanics.
Do you know that he was aware of the problems that have recently emerged in the VA system in other parts of the country before he spoke out or tried to do anything about them?
Well, if you're in the VA for 20 years, you're going to know about these problems. I go to the VA once a month, and I know of these problems. I have veterans that come to me and tell me about these problems in the VA. I'm a VA contractor in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and veterans come to me and they ask me, because they come in the vehicles, to the VA, and they tell me their problems, and I'll ask them, well, did you tell your congressman that? And they go, yeah, I told him, but he doesn't want to help me. He sends me letters all the time, but it doesn't do nothing for me. I've even had one tell me that he laughed at me when he told him what his problem was. So I really don't think that our current congressman is in our best interest on the fight for the VA.
How would you rate, as someone who has used it, how would you rate the performance record of the Oscar Johnson Center?
Well, I can give an example for the Oscar C. Johnson. You know, I went in there and I had this thing on my hand that was bleeding everywhere. And I actually went through a whole roll of Viva before I went in there, and I had my hand wrapped up in blood. In the Viva, it was all wrapped up and it was bloody. And I went in there and I said, hey, can I get a doctor to look at this? You know, it keeps bleeding and so on and so forth. And this was in November. And the person working at the window says, all right, sure, let me look. And he looks and he says, all right, we'll get you in January 29. I said, well, that's not going to help. I went through a whole roll of Viva already. I mean, I need somebody to fix this. And then, I'm sorry, sir, but we can't do that. And then I got a little upset, and all of a sudden a doctor came from around the corner and said, oh, wait, I can fix that. Yeah, don't worry about that. But, I mean, you shouldn't have to get upset about those things. I mean, it should be obvious. Like, something as obvious as that, well, he's got blood all over his hand, he needs to be seen. And they seen it was not a big deal at all. For the most part, I do get fairly good service at the VA, but there's instances that happen that shouldn't happen like that.
All right.
You know, I've talked to other veterans, too, that they've had terrible experiences at the VA. I got a friend of mine that doesn't have a stomach anymore because the VA told him it was in his head and that there was nothing wrong with him.
All right. I appreciate your honesty on that very much. Let's go back to the healthcare system for the rest of us that we started talking about a little bit. You would turn it over and basically apply free market economics to it. But can you, in fact, apply free market economics to the healthcare system? For example, we apply free market economics to the food system. I can't go up to Pat's Foods and say, I have no money, you need to give me some anyway. We don't apply free market economics.
Do we have a free market on the food when we get the feds telling people that they have to heavily regulate different things like raw milk and things of that nature? Is that really that's not really a free market? I was just reading an article where this lady in Lower Michigan provides raw milk to surrounding areas, and the federal government made them dump it all out, and there was nothing wrong with that. But there again, the government is regulating that market. You know, the free market should decide what they want and what they don't want. That's what the free market does. And when the free market decides, you're going to get the best quality for the best price, because the market, the people and the consumers decide what is their best interest?
Okay, but my point is this. If I roll up to the hospital and I'm having a heart attack and I knock on the emergency room door, they are required by law to treat me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I can't pay them, they are required by law to treat me. That's not free market. So would you close the emergency room doors of hospitals to people who cannot afford to pay?
No.
Okay, so you do not recommend free market treatment for our healthcare system. I mean,
free market says
if you can pay for it.
The price will be astronomical where they can't pay it. The free market prices will be a lot lower. You know, up in...
Yeah, but I'm having a heart attack and I don't have a dollar in my pocket.
The emergency room was $100. My father-in-law told me about it. He would go down there to the emergency room. It was $100 and they seen you and fixed you and you were good to go. But that was before a lot of these exchange providers get involved and the pharmaceuticals are jacking up the prices on different things and the FDA is getting involved in a lot of these other things where it makes it so expensive and so ridiculous that people can't afford to pay for their health care.
We have, I know I've talked with the leaders of hospitals in this area, every year millions of dollars of unpaid hospital bills that have to be subsidized, basically, through the insurance rates and the rates that they charge to people who cannot, who can pay, to make up for the people who either cannot or will not pay. How do you make up for that difference in a free market approach to healthcare?
Well, if you look at it another aspect, we have a lot of people that come to this country illegally really putting a major burden on those things. So
yeah, but none of them have arrived here in the copper country, so let's keep on task here, shall we?
Okay.
I mean, I've got three hospitals here in the copper country. Between the three of them, generally more than $2 million a year in unpaid expenses. How do they get that money?
Well, they would have to go after the people that aren't paying their bills.
Yeah, but if the people who don't pay the bills still don't pay the bills, how do they get that money?
Well, they would have to keep going after those people. That's not the government's job to pay somebody else's unpaid bill.
But if they don't get the money, how can they pay their staff?
Well, I suppose they would have to keep going after those people that don't pay their bills. You know, a lot of this has to do because of the price is so expensive, people can't pay their bills, and that's because the government is fixing the prices. The lobbyists and stuff are getting involved raising the prices. That's why people can't pay their bills. In the free market, the prices are going to be lower where people can actually pay their bills. Most people want to pay their bills, but they just don't have the money to pay $75,000 for something that's ridiculously overpriced.
My guess.
So in the free market, the price would come down. It will plateau. The market dictates to itself, and you will get the cheapest and the best quality. But like throughout history, when the government gets involved, the prices always do go up. When it comes back down, the people will be able to pay their bills. I mean, that the people want to pay their bills. People don't go around all the time saying they don't want to pay their bills. You know, in a free market, it would be affordable.
Alan Arkand is my guest on the second portion of Copper Country today. He is running against U.S. Congressman Dan Beneschek in the Republican primary coming up on Tuesday. Congressman Beneschek was my guest in the first portion of the program. Let's take a look at a couple of other things. We talked a little bit about balanced budget and government spending a few minutes ago. Would you support a balanced budget amendment?
I would be supporting for a balanced budget, but I don't believe amendments are the way. You know, our government, our founders talked about adding to the Constitution, nothing lighthearted in any way, shape, or form. I'm all for a balanced budget, but I'm not so sure that I'm for altering the rule of law in the land for an amendment.
We face some very, very significant deficits going ahead in the next few years here. What specific programs would you cut to get the budget balanced?
Well, there's things that we can cut. You know, we have countries all over the world that we give foreign aid to, and most of them don't even like us. And a lot of them take our money and use it against us, and they go waste it all the time on various different things for themselves and actually don't disseminate it to the people. You know, and there's other programs that we can start cutting out, too. We got a lot of programs that are unconstitutional, like, say, the Department of Education. You know, all through history, it was never the government's job to provide education to the people. The founders considered the same as funding religion. So I would be working against the Common Core and starting bringing back education to the people at the state and local level.
You have also been critical of the government's current policy toward immigration. What specific steps would you take to secure the border?
Well, there's things that we can do. The federal government is not doing anything about it right now. The Congress blames it on the president. The president blames it on Congress. And really, naturalization is vested in Congress. And they're not doing anything about it right now. What I think that these border states should be doing, the governor should be standing up and not waiting for the federal government to come in and do something about it. They should be calling in the guard and securing their own borders. You know, we need to enforce our laws, not just have a lawless nation.
But if immigration law...
If we have a country right now without borders, we really don't have a country.
But if, in fact, immigration policy is vested with the federal government, is it legal for these governors to call out and enforce their own borders? And, in fact, there have been some court cases on this that have challenged that.
The states are sovereign. We created the federal government. The states created the federal government. The states can do whatever they want. They can nullify anything that they want in their own states because they are sovereign. The states can stand alone.
I don't believe you find that in the Constitution.
10th Amendment.
Now, the 10th Amendment says that issues that are not addressed in the Constitution are the responsibilities of the states.
Right. There are few and defined that are given to the federal government. War, peace, negotiations, and foreign commerce are the main ones given to the federal government. But the Constitution is a contract between the states and the federal government. Anytime the federal government oversteps its constitutional bounds, the states have an obligation to not follow unlawful orders. You know, the states can nullify laws coming from the federal government.
Really?
Anything that is not given to the federal government that was not declared in the Constitution is reserved for the states and the people.
How have courts ruled on that?
States can nullify things just like the state of Michigan has nullified the National Defense Authorization Act. We got states nullifying Common Core. I mean, the states can do that. The states are sovereign.
Yeah, well, and you're right on that basic point. I'm just not certain that that you're right on this specific point.
Hamilton talked about the governors being stronger than the president. They had more power than the president. The governor has the final say in the state. And they can do what they want in their states.
Tens of thousands.
That's why the National Guard is vested with the states and not the federal government. They report to the governor. They've been trying to change those laws.
Tens of thousands of children have come across our border from Central American countries illegally over the last several years. What specifically would you do with those kids?
Well, it's not just kids coming across the border. We're getting a lot of criminals coming across the border. We're getting a lot of people that want to do harm to our country. It's a national security risk to have these borders just basically wide open.
But what would you do with the kids?
All over the world that want to do us harm, and our country is doing nothing about it.
But what would you do with the kids?
What's that?
What would you do with the kids?
I think that, these kids, we should treat them, give them some food, and send them back to their country.
All right. What about the adults now that we've got through that? What about the adults that are here, many of them illegally?
Well, we have laws in the books. We need to enforce our own laws. People are going to just keep taking advantage of us if we don't enforce our own laws. And we have immigration laws, and the federal government is not enforcing the laws. I have friends that have worked the border, and they told me they're on standing orders. They're not allowed to do anything. This is before this whole influx of people coming across our borders. They told us, or he told me, that they're not allowed to stop anybody at all unless it's some sort of health issue. other than that, they're allowed to just walk across our borders,
right,
and which is terrible. You know, we need to enforce our immigration laws. When we are arresting people that are illegal in this country and did not come through the proper channels, did not go through the right suffrage, they need to go back to the country where they came from.
All right, and with that, I have to wrap things up here, I'm afraid.
Their visas are expired, and they need to reapply, or they need to go back to where they came from.
And with that, I have to wrap things up. Alan, we're out of time. I really appreciate your sharing your views with us. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Alan Arkand, who is running against Dan Benishek in the Republican primary on Tuesday. Remember that you can hear complete coverage of the primary results Tuesday night with News Director Sam Ali on 97.7 The Wolf. And tune in again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.